When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Everybody, how you doing? Well, that's good. Welcome to PHLY Flyers, presented by Mortgage CS. Check out mortgagecs.com/PHLY to start your home buying process today. Company NMLS ID number 1464766. My name is Bill Matz. I'm your director of fun and games for this Friday afternoon. Joining me, as always, it's Philadelphia's number one hockey beat reporter, Charlie O'Connor.
What's up, Bill?
Charlie.
Yeah.
We were just joking about coaches and stuff before we went live.
I would like to actually get into this.
Because I do, too, because I really enjoy how pumped up you are about this.
Yeah.
If you had to choose between the final play of the Sixers game last night or the Flyers power play, which is ugly?
Oh, God. Well, I guess it's a matter of... I think the Flyers power play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Because the Sixers lost that game when Josh Hart hit that three.
Yeah.
Everything else was just like whatever was going to happen was inevitable. They gave a guy who's not a good 3-point shooter an open look. They bet that he wasn't going to make it and he made it. I mean, I don't think they were wrong to do that. It's just dude made a shot and then you're kind of screwed.
It's a make or miss league.
Make or miss league.
Yeah. No, it was, I was going to make fun of it on social. I was like, what is this? Like, what is the, and I was like, man, I just watched 82 games of a team with no plan.
Yeah.
I can't be mad.
Like Rocky Thompson.
With 3 seconds left, they didn't come up with something when for 82 games, my team didn't come up with shit.
Rocky Thompson is literally the Joker talking to Batman when he's just like cackling. Like, you think I have a plan?
It's really, we're going to get into a whole bunch of stuff today. It's F Around Friday. Honestly.
We're just gonna F around.
This is the first day of the off season. I feel like there's nothing going on other than the playoffs.
Yeah,
like this might be, and there's some Brenda Moore stuff. So I guess we can get into that. But first, man, I have some people over for the Sixers games. Sixers game last night.
Okay,
some of my friends, and these are not the like a lot of my jokes don't land because these are not terminally online.
So they're significantly healthier human beings.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Families, you know, the
whole deal.
Yep. Like don't read every single rumor, don't get every Twitter meme.
Right.
Like they are, however, convinced Matvei Michkov is coming over.
I love that for
Michkov
them.
I
love that for them.
Yeah, they're, yeah. And guess what? They won't like follow it day by day. So it will be, oh, on June 30th, he's either here or he isn't. And they'll get to just enjoy that or not. But it really speaks to, like, this is, if you're a Flyers fan, all your hopes and dreams are going to come true 2 years early. Like, people are so excited about this.
Yeah.
If you just Google the Flyers, like, Philadelphia Flyers right now and click news, it's all Michkov speculation.
Sure.
Based on, like, one thing.
Yeah, one Russian language article.
Yes. That somebody had to translate for some. It could be all made up. Nobody's going to figure that out for months.
But it's fun.
It's so fun.
That's the thing. This is fun. And the cool thing about it for me as someone who covers the team and obviously deals with fans on a daily basis, is this is just pure excitement.
Yeah.
And you can tell that if and when, and I do believe it will happen, he does ultimately come over, whether it's in July, whether it's next summer, whether it's the summer after. I do think he will come over. The excitement and interest level in this team is going to be so high because people are going to be so jacked to see this dude who, and don't get me wrong, like I very much respect Claude Giroux and what he did for this franchise and the player he was. This will be the most excited we see Flyers fans since Eric Lindros. Just because of the hype. Like, yeah. Claude Giroux was a first-round pick who dramatically exceeded expectations.
That was a happy accident.
Yeah, and that was great. But this is the franchise savior. Like, Nolan Patrick, yeah, people were pumped to see Nolan Patrick, but no one had any delusion that he was, like, a generational
player.
We
were told, like, hey, don't get, yeah, it's cool they won this draft lottery, but don't think they solved their no star problem.
Exactly.
Like, they got a really good player.
Yeah.
They did not get a franchise changing player.
Yeah.
And it was like, there aren't any in this draft. And then it turned out that there were three.
The idea was that it's possible, but it wasn't the expectation. It was, hey, if everything breaks right, this guy could be a, you know, 80 to 90 point guy who is a star on a cup contender. Yeah, that was absolutely an expectation, but it wasn't the, like, this is going to happen. This is not Connor Bedard. This is not even Macklin Celebrini.
No.
Like, that was not the level he was viewed at. Matvei Michkov, probably not, because I didn't live through this. I was 3-4 years old when it happened. But I imagine when Lindros showed up, like his first training camp, his first game, I imagine people were absolutely losing their shit. And I think it will be similar with Michkov.
My old man, who never watched a minute of hockey in his life, when they get Lindros, like the arbitration comes down,
right?
He goes to Sports Authority, buys a Lindros jersey, and gets season tickets.
Boom.
Like, he got like a ticket package. Yeah. Like, and that's how I see like it reaching the casuals for the first time. Like,
yeah.
When we were saying, I think yesterday, man, when he shows up, like that development camp, you know, that rookie camp,
it's gonna be nuts.
There's gonna be like cops directing traffic, and I was like, well, will it really? And then no, this is gonna be one of those things that like,
yeah.
It's bigger than, Claude Giroux was awesome, but it's a happy accident. He was here, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh, he's going to be pretty damn good, huh? Oh, well, shit, he's actually better than the top couple of guys. He's the best player on this team, actually.
Yeah.
Like, and it just sort of happened.
Yeah.
Where Michkov, like, we have to wait, and we hear, like, we watch the Russian highlights. It's this hype around, actually, he should have gone second. Like, it's just because he's Russian, and you have to wait a while. It's... like, it's just building up this, a lot the way the Lindros, I assume, like, he's the next one, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody has Lindros expectations.
Yeah, I think Lindros, that was on a different level.
He was
level.
Supposed to be the next best player ever.
Yeah, it was, and also it was coming right after Mario, and it's like, okay, he's going to be the next, like Mario lived up to the expectations. Obviously, Gretzky was Gretzky, and then it was, okay, Lindros is the next generational, truly game-changing guy. He ended up being a Hall of Famer, didn't quite reach those levels, but was really, really good.
Yeah.
And for, you know, 6-7 years was the primary focus, for better or worse, of Philadelphia Flyers hockey. I would expect Matvei Michkov, again, for better or worse, we'll see how it all plays out, will be what you think of when you think Philadelphia Flyers.
But now I have to, you know, I tell you about my friends who are like, you know, out in the world, normal people.
Mm-hmm.
I also... I'm hearing it from the crazies online. And this is in no way derisive. I love all of our listeners, everyone who interacts with us. I am not trying to be mean to anybody, but I get a lot of DMs like this now. And they're, you know, for somebody who might be a little older than us. Is that Michkov kid going to be on the team next year or what? If so, they need to trade for a true star sniper. Everyone needs to be on the table. Farabee, Brink, the picks as well.
I mean, I love the enthusiasm. I do. I love the enthusiasm.
I love the idea of true star sniper. it really cracks me up. I mean,
I think honestly, like, number one, while I wouldn't consider Michkov to be a sniper in the classic sense of the way people think of him, I do think he is a goal scorer. And that's not to say he doesn't have playmaking ability.
Yeah.
Like, he is a really good passer as well. He's a true offensive weapon. But I think more than, like, definitely more than, say, Drew, Michkov, his first instinct is to try to score goals.
Yes.
Like, that is what he wants to do above anything else. And he is more than willing to pass and get someone else a goal. And he has the creativity to do it in the hands and the vision. But he is first and foremost a goal scorer. I do not think they need to get a true sniper to play with Michkov. I honestly would much rather them get a true playmaker to play with Michkov down the middle to feed him the puck so he can score 50 goals rather than 40.
It's going
to
be very funny that forever we had Jake and G. And it's like, you know what would be great? If we got this guy, if we got them like a guy who shoots really, really well, you know, they could pass to somebody, these amazing passers, these guys with incredible hands, incredible vision, who just want to set people up for easy goals. If we could just get them dudes who score goals, I already see like, oh man, Forster, Tippett, Michkov, fuck. Yeah. You know, we need a playmaker.
Need a playmaker again.
We are
need
a playmaker again. It's going to be the hole that we're trying to. Yep. We just really need a playmaking center. Well, we have Frost. Yeah. I really don't want Frost and Michkov together. Like, that's.
Yeah.
I don't really see that as maximizing. Yeah.
I would rather it not be a similar situation like they have in Minnesota right now, where, and like, don't get me wrong, Joel Eriksson Ek, perfectly good player.
He's a really good player.
Take him on my team any day. If he's centering Kirill Kaprizov, like, that doesn't seem ideal.
It's like, maybe it's maximizing Eriksson Ek, but it is not maximizing the dude with the highest potential.
No,
he is rubbing off on them rather than being helped by them. And that's,
But no,
you want someone who can.
That is a very funny DM. I mean, I remember like, this was probably like 3 years ago, and this was when I was single, and I was hanging out with a few friends at a bar, and they're like, oh, like, you know, you're a famous beat writer. Like, you know, you probably get girls sliding in your DMs all the time. And my answer was like, dude, I do get people to slide into my DMs, but I guarantee you they are not people who are interested in me.
Oh, they're full.
They are very full, but they are not people interested in dating me.
They are
people interested in yelling about the Flyers to me.
People with very strong opinions about the Flyers, and those opinions are opposite mine most of the time. And they want to yell at somebody about it. But now I'm starting to feel a little bit of this Michkov mania. I know we've said all along, the best thing you can do here is just say it's going to be the 3 years. And then if it's not, that's really fun.
Yeah. I agree.
I don't know if I can, like, I want to live in the world where it's happening. Like, I just want to fast forward to June 30th. Like, I want to get the click remote.
The click remote, yeah.
And like,
you wake up and you're like four. You're like, shit, he's not here yet.
Yes. Yeah, no, I fuck. That would suck. What do you think the chances are? Like, I know you don't know. I'm not saying you have any sort of, if you had to put a number on it, chances he's coming July 1st.
I would say probably somewhere in like the 10 to 20% range. Okay. I don't think it's likely.
It's not zero.
It's not zero. It's higher than it was before that report came out. I still, to me, and this is not only based on like me reading the tea leaves, but just things that I've heard. To me, this more opens the door much wider for him leaving a year early. I think this I think this sets the Flyers up much better for him making his debut in 25-26 rather than 26-27, which would be the first year after his contract expires. My general assumption and where I'm kind of coming at this is that if they're already opening the door now, that makes it significantly easier. If he gets a year with Ska, they get their 1 year out of him. They know he's going to essentially be a lame duck guy the following year. Then it becomes, okay, we got something out of our investment. Now let's just figure out some under the table deal.
Yes.
To make sure everyone who needs to get their beaks wet gets paid. And then Michkov comes over.
I love, can you imagine if this is how like fucking Peyton Manning came to the NFL? Like if he, instead of going to Tennessee, he went to, you know, University of Moscow and like to get him over. Like, this would be the biggest goddamn shit in the world. Like, we'd be for if the NFL depended on Russia the way the NHL does, we would be allies. We would have world fucking peace if the NFL depended on Russia the way the NHL does. That's how I see this thing happening. It would be a straight up talent exchange. That's what would bring it. All right, before we go on to some other newsy stuff I'm going to get to today in the playoffs and all that, I want to talk to you about Trumark Financial Credit Union. Now, Charlie and I had the opportunity to meet with them, what was that, 2 days ago?
Yeah, 2 days ago.
The good people of Trumark Financial Credit Union. And, you know, they get a kick out of the way I do the read. So they do, however, want to educate me on, like, what a credit union is and the benefits of going with Trumark Financial. I got to tell you, it was really, really cool just getting to sit down and talk to them and the way they think about being a financial partner with their, you know, not even really customers, but investors. Because when you join a credit union like Trumark Financial, you become a part owner, which means profits come back to you instead of going to shareholders. That means you can get better rates, lower fees, better return on savings, more flexible options, and you still get all the digital tools and tech that you need to make your life easier. Everything you come to expect from the big banks in terms of convenience, you can count on that.
I think one of the
Trumark Financial
big things we talked about with them, which makes all the sense in the world, is when you're dealing with, you know, a local credit union, brick and mortar, you can go to where they are, that you're not going to have to go through all the red tape when you're dealing with a big bank where, you know, if you need something to get done, you know, whether it's something to do with inheritance or, you know, anything that is not just your basic depositing a paycheck every 2 weeks or whatever, it's extremely helpful to be able to talk to, like, if you need to, the CEO or whoever's running the show, and have it done by the people actually running things rather than, you know, it's some gigantic conglomerate who's over the world.
It's just an employee following a script. I, you know, bank at one of the bigger banks, and that happened to me a couple of days ago. I went and, like, to do something I'm normally able to do, and they go, yeah, I don't think that's going to work. It's like, really? Because do this all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what to tell you. There's nobody above, like, Mr. Big Bank isn't here. I can't talk to him.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just guy behind counter. And
Mr. Wells Fargo.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he ain't here. And that's one of the many benefits of going with a credit union like Trumark. So head over to Trumark.com/PHLY to learn more or to find a branch near you. That's Trumark.com/PHLY, federally insured by the NCUA.
Also, if you're banking with Wells Fargo, didn't we agree earlier this week that
they're
the cause of all of our pain because they named the arena that's cursed?
Even obviously no one's ever won in the building, but they used to win playoff series and shit.
At least they got that far.
It was Wachovia up until July of 2010, and nothing's happened since then.
Yeah,
neither team has been out of the
one playoff series at the Wells Fargo Center, right? That was the Penguins series.
Penguins.
And that was it.
Neither team's been out of the second round.
Or no, they won the Buffalo series too. So two playoff series. The Buffalo series was in 2011. Then the Penguins series in 2012. Yeah. And then obviously they won the series in the bubble, but that was not at the Wells Fargo Center.
No, they
didn't play any
of
the games there.
Yeah. All right. So just yet another reason to go with Trumark. The Jack Adams finalists came out today. Torts not among them. I don't think that's a shock.
I was mildly surprised, but I wasn't shocked.
I thought it was completely dependent on him making the playoffs. Because, like, that's the case. Look at this team. This is not a playoff team, yet here they are. 12th worst team in the league? That's about what they were.
Yeah, I think there are a couple things going on here. Number one, to be clear, this is an award that is voted on not by the media writers, not voted on by the Professional Hockey Writers Association. So I didn't write on this one. I didn't vote on this one, I mean. It is voted on by the professional broadcasters. So, if you're going to blame somebody, blame Jim Jackson. There you go. But
blame Hartnell on that haircut.
don't yell at Scott and his hard haircut.
I love
He's trying new
come
things.
On. Come it's on. Funny.
Okay. Anyway, so number one, this is the Professional Broadcasters Association. So, yes, I absolutely think that there were some voters who looked at the Flyers and were like, if they make the playoffs, I'll vote for Torts. If they don't, I won't. And they didn't. But I do wonder if there were some voters who it wasn't just that they didn't make the playoffs. It was all of the final month zaniness from Torts. Like, if they would have just missed on the final day and Torts would have been like a normal human from March 1st on to the end of the year, I think he might have gotten a few more votes. But there were probably some broadcasts, because like, this was not just us. There were a lot of other people in the media that were very critical of, in particular, the John Tortorella scratching of Sean Couturier. I wonder if that cost them a few. Where they're like, you know, Torts did this crazy thing and it didn't work, so... And maybe it made things worse. Just saying.
I guess since they collapsed, you can actually... Like, I think that builds his case if they make the playoffs. If it works, right?
Yeah, probably.
But since they collapsed, you can look at it and go... Yeah, they were in a playoff spot that whole time, and he started doing crazy shit, and
exactly.
Then they missed.
That's
so
kind of my point.
You can actually blame him for a part of the collapse rather than, oh, man, yeah, they made it. Like, yeah. He must have done something right. But I guess it goes either way then. Like, he pushed buttons, and if they work, he's a finalist. And if they don't, it's actually like it's on you. You're not a finalist because of this.
Exactly. So,
I will say, though, like, the three coaches who were nominated, I think, very much deserve it.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I think you could. I mean, Tockett's going to win it. He was going to win it even if Torts got nominated. Like, Tockett was going to run away with this thing without a doubt. Brunette, I think Nashville in the second half of the year, really ever since the U2 concert thing.
That's like, when I look at it, who knows how big of a story that really was, but like, that's a coaching decision. And then you look at them, like, it's impressive what he did, no doubt. But you look at that team and go, look at all this high, like, they're also going to have the Norris finalist on this team. Like, they're going to win awards outside of the coach. You just look at it, like, I don't know, they were a borderline playoff team last year. They made a huge jump, but they have all this high-end talent. Like, how much of it was the coach? I don't know. I look at Brunette and you go, well, look what happened.
Yeah.
He did something and they respond. Much like the Tortorella shit. It's like, man, that's kind of mean. And then it's, well, it works.
I mean, I feel like most of our listeners know this story, especially the ones who are watching the Nashville series, because they've certainly. But basically what happened was, for those who don't know, this was in, I think, like February, I think, January or February. It was right around the All-Star break. And they were, the team had tickets to see U2
at
the Sphere in Vegas when they were out there for the Vegas game, I guess. And they played so badly in like the couple games leading up to it that Brunette and the organization basically decided, like, no, you don't deserve to go to this trip.
You don't get to go.
And which is very funny.
It's hilarious.
But it's even funnier that the team, like, then immediately started playing.
They won like 18 in a row.
Wild.
No, it's hilarious. And then, like, bonus, you just look at what we expected, I think, from Winnipeg. Like,
they did exceed expectations.
I was shocked when they were able to make the re-signings they did in the beginning. Like, I figured that was just a sinking ship and dudes were going to go, see ya. I'm done with this. And then they come out and they're like, they're in the President's Trophy race all year. That's a hell of a season. Also, you know, show me the Vezina winner, I'll show you a great coach.
So here's a question for you about this award. Because I go back and forth on this one. Do you think, particularly the players, I am like 100% of the opinion that we should vote on the player-specific awards after the regular season before the playoffs start. Do you think the coach and the GM awards should wait until after the playoffs are done? The voting.
No. They get the Stanley Cup. Like, clearly you did a good job. You got the award everyone's going for. And maybe you won the regular season stuff too, but I just look at it like, listen, the playoffs are obviously the most important thing. The Stanley Cup is the prize. But, Tampa, they just didn't get it done. Like, the year they win every game of the season and they get swept in the first round, like, do I now think John Cooper's a bad coach because he had four bad days? No. They won every game this year.
I'm more open to, and they would never do it because it would be a logistical nightmare. I think the GM award should absolutely be voted on after the regular season because the regular season is a much better barometer, in my opinion,
of the team you built,
of the job the GM actually did, whereas the playoffs are a bit of a crapshoot. The coaching award, though, I really do go back and forth on because so much of a coach's job is about the game-by-game management.
And it's magnified so much. Like,
exactly.
These are your actual choices. Like, the goalie you start, when did you pull him, at what time, like every the matchups, home and away, all of it is
it's where the coaching really does shine.
Actually has an effect on the series, where game to game regular season, it's like, I don't know. You know who usually wins at the end? The team with the best record is the team with the most good players.
Yeah, like, exactly. So the coaching one, I go back and forth on. They'll never do it because they're never going to have us like vote on everything else. And then at the end, it's like, oh, by the way, here's all the ballots for coach of the year. But I do wonder sometimes if that award might be better served to be voted on at the end of the playoffs rather than at the end of the regular season.
Does it... Wouldn't it automatically go to the cup winner?
That's one of the ways I go back.
He did it.
It's like, oh yeah, every year it goes to the guy who.
Maybe
won.
You do it in the conference final.
Yeah.
Do you vote on it before game four of each series is when we like they're gonna go at least four. Mm. Before game four, we'd have the vote on the coach of the year. Maybe that's the way. I don't know.
Maybe.
But it is interesting. You've made me consider it, at least.
Okay.
I appreciate your argument.
All right, so before we change gears, I do want to go on a little bit of a rant here about coaches.
Please
so
do.
So this preceded the show, because this report from Frank Saravalli came out about 10 minutes before our show began, and it got me a little riled up, because the report was, so this came out about a couple of hours ago, was that Reardon... the assistant coach in Pittsburgh in charge of Todd Reardon, the assistant coach in charge of the power play in Pittsburgh, was relieved of his duties. Mike Sullivan remains the head coach, but Reardon is no longer the assistant coach. And Dubas basically in the release basically said, we did this, you know, after much discussion for the last 2 weeks between me and Mike Sullivan, we decided this was the right way to go. About 10 minutes before the show starts, Frank Saravalli tweets out, there was no shortage of friction in Pittsburgh, where, as we reported, Coach Mike Sullivan was vehemently opposed to making changes to his staff. Now that Kyle Dubas has fired assistant coach Todd Reardon, is that the tipping point on Sullivan's tenure? We shall see. The reason why this riled me up is for this reason, okay? Todd Reardon coaches the power play. That's one of his primary jobs. The Pittsburgh Penguins power play this year ranked 30th. It had a 15.3% efficiency rate.
0.2 better than Columbus at 31st.
Yes. Worse than the Montreal Canadiens, the Chicago Blackhawks, the Anaheim Ducks, the San Jose Sharks, the Ottawa Senators. Like, these are bad teams. And quite a few of these teams have very little in the way of any talent. The Penguins have Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang, and Erik Karlsson. They have three guys who are definitely going to be Hall of Famers, and a fourth who most likely also will be in Chris Letang. He's probably a little bit more on the borderline, but I think he probably ultimately makes it. That's my guess.
The Cups get him in.
I think so.
He gets one of them. Yeah, he really wasn't, but this is hockey, remember.
My point is this, and this is what riles me up. It blows me away how many NHL coaches who present themselves as all about accountability and being a hard ass and making it so like, hey, if you're not getting the job done on the ice, we'll scratch you because we hold everyone to such a high standard in this organization, that they present that. And then when someone above them presents the possibility that maybe one of their assistants is not doing that great of a job because, you know, we have 15% efficiency power play with like one of the 10 best players of all time who is an incredible power play player. It probably ain't his fault. I'm guessing it's the coach. And then these coaches who are all about accountability during the regular season are like, no, not only do I think that's a bad idea, I'm going to throw a temper tantrum if you try to do it. Like, the double standard is bonkers to me. Todd Reardon should have been fired the day after the season ended. It should not have even been a question. And I know that Mike Sullivan probably thinks he's a great guy and probably thinks he's real smart. And you know what? Todd Reardon, maybe both of those things. But if you coach a power play with Sidney Crosby on it that has a 15% efficiency rate, you aren't good at your job. I'm sorry. You're not. You should be fired.
That's
accountability.
As bad as the Flyers power play is, and like, it should be better. I don't care who's on it. If it was just their third line, it should be better than 12%. You have more guys than the other team. You can convince me it's the players.
Sure.
Like,
I think it should be better.
Yeah, it should be better, yeah. But like, the players aren't very good. There's almost nothing you could say to convince me, like, oh no, Reardon's doing a great job. It's the dudes on the ice. No, it isn't.
It's definitely not.
No, it fucking isn't. I'm sorry. You can convince me a lot of things that are wrong with that team. Like, you know, they're just getting older and they can't do what they... Okay. There's absolutely no reason Evgeny Malkin can't stand still and beat the goalie with a one-timer.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You can't convince me that that's gone from his repertoire.
No.
Unless, like, if it is, he shouldn't be playing. That means his back can't support a slap shot anymore. Like, that's... It's absolutely insane, but we've seen this.
Oh, we see it all the time, which is why it pisses me off so much.
How long did Anne LaPerriere get to coach this penalty kill? Anne LaPerriere might be a great developmental coach. He might be doing a good job with the Phantoms. I have no idea. I'll tell you what I do know to be true. He cannot coach a penalty kill in the NHL.
No.
He's bad at it.
He's bad at it.
I know he's bad at it because the results said he was bad at it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, this Flyers power play? It's coached poorly.
Yeah, like, it's coached poorly.
Riley Thompson shouldn't have these.
Yeah.
But head coaches get to keep their guys most of the time.
Yeah, but it's just one of those things where it ticks me off because the double standard and the hypocrisy is so obvious, where it's like, well, the players, we can scratch whoever the hell we want because accountability, but like my bud, the assistant coach. And again, this isn't just shitting on Mike Sullivan. Like, obviously most Flyers fans are going to jump to John Tortorella with Rocky Thompson.
Yeah.
I'll go back to like Peter Laviolette has kept assistant coaches that coach poorly performing units for years because he likes them because they're his bud. Alain Vigneault refused to dump Michel Therrien when it was clear he wasn't that good at what the job he was doing. And the players didn't like him either. Like, coaches have one standard for their players and one standard for their assistants. And I just wish they held their assistants to the same accountability that they talk about being so important.
What if he would fire his assistant, but the assistant has family in town, so he just can't talk to him?
Oh, my God. Okay. Nice one.
Before we go on, I got to tell you, you know what time of year it is. Birds are chirping. Grass is growing. Got Stanley Cup playoffs. That means eyes are watering and throats are scratchy. Everyone who has been listening to the show for the last few weeks and months knows I'm an allergy sufferer. You can hear it in my voice on plenty of days. Pollen from trees, grasses, and weeds are a primary cause of seasonal allergies. Symptoms flare when the pollen you are allergic to is in the air, and it's possible to be allergic to just one or several types of pollen. Allergies suck. There's no two ways about it, but there are steps you can take to help alleviate some of your allergy symptoms. First and foremost, sign up for Rite Aid Rewards emails at riteaid.com/rewards to receive email pollen alerts for your area. When the pollen count's high, stay inside. Keep windows closed and run air conditioners as needed. And remove your shoes and coats near your door to minimize tracking pollen inside your home. And finally, take a shower before bed to help wash away any pollen from your skin and hair. And of course, you can visit Rite Aid to stock up on over-the-counter allergy solutions like a nasal rinse and antihistamines. Still not enough relief? Ask a Rite Aid pharmacist if a different type of allergy medication, like a decongestant, might be necessary. You can always ask your Rite Aid pharmacist for recommendations on way to get relief during allergy season. Visit your local Rite Aid today, stock up on allergy relief, or catch up on immunizations for RSV, shingles, and more. Walk in or schedule a vaccine appointment at riteaid.com. I just wanted to ask, before we get to some playoff stuff, we, over the last couple of days, broke down your player grades from the diehard articles that you wrote. Sign up to be a diehard to read them. They're outstanding. Is there any one grade that you've gotten any pushback on?
I think there was some,
other than Nick Deloria.
There was some skepticism. Well, that was you.
Yeah. Exactly.
There was some skepticism on the B+ for Owen Tippett, which I think is fair. Hmm. And I think that honestly just plays into the fact that people had higher expectations for him. That their view was that they came into the year with the belief that this year was not going to be a success for Owen Tippett unless he cracked 30 goals.
It was considerably more than last year.
And instead, he more or less, at least by the basic numbers, basically just repeated his season.
Yeah.
Plus, and this is a big part of it, it always is going to be for fans, he got paid. So now that he got paid, the expectations are higher because he's no longer the found money in the Claude Giroux trade who's getting paid, you know, less than $3 million a year. Now he's the guy getting paid over six. Now there are expectations. Now, granted, last year he was still being paid under the cheap contract. Next year, though, he's got the money with the money comes higher expectations. It just does.
Remember when somebody tweeted Jake, like, after he signed the extension, but it hadn't kicked in yet, and it was like, you make $8 million a year, but he, like, asterisk his action was he was still at like 4-3 or whatever it was from his previous contract. I always like Jake. The year before the contract kicks in. But no, he's got that dollar amount associated with him.
Exactly.
Now.
Exactly.
And we, it's always, you don't want to be overpaying the guy. Like, I want him to live up to this contract now rather than, oh, you know, yeah, 27, 28. No, I want you to now exceed the contract, not the previous one, this one. We need 35 out of you for that to be the case. Yeah. Also, over the next couple of years, we're going to have to recalibrate what cap hits are in our head.
Exactly.
Like,
but that'll take time.
6.2 a few years from now is not going to be what we think of. Like, that's, oh my God, 6.2 is... No, for like a good scoring second liner, yeah, it's about right. Mm. You know, like it's going to be, but
we'll get there.
You
always it's going to take time.
You always want the surplus value, sure. Even once. Oh, yeah, 6.2, not too bad. Be nice if he performed like an 8.2 guy, though. You know, that's always going to be the case. All right, Chuck, let's get to the playoffs.
Hey-o.
I'm really looking forward to the second round. This first round, we're getting some drama out of these final two.
We are. It looks like they're going to end well.
Yeah. It's at least we're getting the Vegas-Dallas series.
Which has been great straight through.
And now Boston-Toronto, we're at least getting like, okay, these are good, long, playoff hard matchups for each team. I am looking forward really, really a lot to the Rangers and Canes, though.
It should be a hell of a series.
I'll tell you, I have the Canes winning the Cup.
Do you? Okay.
And I'm looking at this matchup, and I think the Canes are a better overall unit, but I don't see how Freddie Anderson can match Shesterkin. Like, that's just such a big mismatch in my mind. With the high-end talent that the Rangers have, it's going to take Freddie Anderson playing really, really well. The Canes, I know they went out and got Gensel. They went out and got Kuznetsov. But it's still the team that has trouble scoring in the playoffs against one of, if not the best goalie in the league.
I get it. I get your concern. I have the Canes going to the Cup final. I have them losing, but I think they're going to win the East. They are still my pick. Could I see the Rangers winning the series? Absolutely. I'm Shesterkin. If Shesterkin is Shesterkin and just kills it, then yeah, then they can't beat him. And that's happened before. Like, that's, these two teams played each other in 2022. The Canes were the better team at 5-on-5. The Rangers won the way they win, which is they have the better goalie in basically every matchup they're going to be in. They have a great power play. However, I think that the Canes have the advantage in a lot of ways in this series. I'm trying to pull up I really hoped I would be able to do this sooner, but of course, the Athletic NHL does not have their Canes Rangers preview. They just don't have it right front and center, which is annoying because it's like, guys, this is like what you should be promoting. Now that I don't work for them, I can kind of shit on them a little bit. But I want to get this playoff review that Dom and Shayna did because it's very good. Just the stats. Because the stats to me they show that like this isn't as much of a mismatch in the other areas as you would think. Like, it's just not. I mean, you look at it like, everybody thinks that the Rangers power play is so good. The Carolina power play is just as good. Their percentages are almost identical. The two teams average the same amount of goals per game this season. Like, you can make the case, I guess, that like, well, the Canes shit doesn't work in the playoffs from a goal scoring standpoint. I don't know. We've never seen the Canes with Jake Gensel. And last year they didn't have Svechnikov. They didn't have two guys who you can think theoretically should be able to do those star type things in the playoffs. The Canes are a better goal prevention team this season than the Rangers, which kind of shocks you because you're like, well, one team has Shesterkin and one team has Anderson. Number one, Anderson's been pretty good. Number two, he didn't play most of this year. So even without him, who's a pretty good goalie, they still did a better job of the Rangers of preventing goals. Like, yeah, the Rangers finished with a better record. I think the Canes are the better team. And I think the Canes are the better team. And I think the Canes are going to win this series. I think it's going to be a great series, but I'm expecting the Canes to win it. If I'm like, as someone who's picked the Canes to go to the Cup final, I am significantly more worried that they can't beat Florida than they can't beat the Rangers.
I was just getting to this next, but to back that up, Carolina averaged 3.8 goals a game in the first round. against the Isles. Now, the Isles aren't what they were, but they're a pretty good defensive team with pretty good goaltending. And, I don't know, almost four goals a game. Pretty good. It's a little bit... I think they are a little bit different than years past, the Canes. I think they can win. I just... the goaltending is such a question mark for me. But I look now at the Panthers, who are going to take on the winner of Toronto-Boston Game 7.
Yeah.
These two teams are beating the shit out of each other. It's going 7. The Panthers, they're resting up.
Yeah.
I feel like this Rangers-Canes series, like it, those might be the two better teams, but they're going to beat the shit out of each other, and the Panthers are going to have a much easier path to the
maybe
to the East Final.
Maybe. I don't know. First off, we don't know how this Game 7 is going to go with Boston. Yeah. Toronto. If Toronto wins it, do they just fall flat on their face again like they've done so many times? I mean, they lost to the Panthers in 4 last year, right? Yeah. They got swept. I mean, that could very well happen again. I don't know. Boston could give them a tough series. It's so tough to say. I think there's a very strong case that Florida is the most talented team in the Eastern Conference.
They're really good.
And I'm not sure. Like, I look at the Rangers and I see a team that is average 5-on-5 that gets by on their power play and they get by on their goaltending. That's how they do it. They're playing a team in Carolina who is significantly better than them at 5-on-5 and has just as good of a power play. And yes, there's a goaltending gap, but I don't think it's so huge because I don't think Shesterkin has been incredible this year. He finished the year very well, but over the whole,
he has not been like the dude we saw who was flirting with the save percentage record a couple years ago.
Yes. So to me, this Canes Rangers series is, can Shesterkin steal it? Because I think the Canes will be the better team. If the Canes go up against Florida, Florida is almost as good of a 5-on-5 team as the Canes. You could make a case they are better. And they also have all the other things. Like, that is going to be very tough for the Canes to win because I don't know if the Canes have an obvious advantage anywhere other than the fact that, hey, they're a great 5-on-5 team that just added a really good score, and we've never seen that in the playoffs. Last year, they played Florida, and they lost extremely close games, but they still lost all of them. You know what I mean? So yeah. I don't know if they've closed the gap enough to win, if that's the way the conference final plays out. Maybe that won't even be the conference final. Maybe Shesterkin stands on his head, and then Toronto goes on their Toronto run and ends up being Toronto Rangers. You never know. It's hockey.
That would be... I am expecting... It's... What's the most entertaining? Is Panthers, Canes... the best possible series?
I think that would be the best hockey series.
Yes.
I would be open to the concept that the most entertaining series to watch could be Panthers-Rangers, because the Rangers play a little bit more of a rush-oriented back-and-forth game. That might be more fun. But I think if you're purely talking about in terms of, like, strength of quality of play, I think Florida, Carolina, those are the two best teams in the Eastern Conference.
Plus, you get Rempe versus all those Florida rats. Like,
that would be just fun. Rempe versus Kachuk.
There's a lot of running around going on in that series. Like, player safety is going to be getting tagged all the time. Before we talk about the West, though, I guess maybe bigger than, you know, waiting on this Rangers Canes series to start, it's all this Rod Brendamore stuff going on, man.
Yeah.
Like, yesterday, Darren Dreger tweets, Brendamore's future as Carolina's coach is up in the air. Recently, a deal seemed close, but it's believed the offer to extend the highly respected coach has been pulled. Sources say Brendamore wants to stay, but may have to test the market if an agreement can't be reached.
So that was 2 days
ago.
Then yesterday, Dreger tweets out that it looks like they're going to pull this together. It's unnecessary drama for a team that's like trying to win the cup right now.
It seems so weird that this is like being discussed now. And on 32 Thoughts this morning.
Oh, I didn't listen.
I heard this part and then came in here. I was listening in the car and it was Elliot just being like, it really looks like it's maybe this was blown up a little bit more than it needed to be. Mm-hmm. And maybe there was like one meeting where both of like Dundon and Brendamore looked at each other like, are you fucking serious? Like, it's interesting. Every Flyers fan wants Rod Brendamore like so bad.
Yeah.
He's the best coach. He's the one who got away that we always loved. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone loves Rod Brendamore. I never thought it was a real possibility.
I just don't think, and he's made this abundantly clear, that he never wants to coach anywhere other than Carolina. The thing about this, And I'm openly someone who likes to see the Canes win. I think they are a team that if they were to win a cup, it would maybe change the way some of the remaining doubters view building a team in large part based on the principles of analytics. So I'd like to see the Canes win because I think it would shake the foundations a little bit. And I also, obviously, like, there's the BSH connection with Eric Tulsky, their assistant general manager. We literally work together. So I'd like to see him do well because he's a good guy and he's also fucking brilliant. That said, I get very frustrated with the way Tom Dundon does business because Dundon is a penny pincher.
Yes. He is.
He's a cheapskate. He always has been and he always will be. And I think his view, which is a really shitty way to view the situation with Brind'Amour, is that Rod Brind'Amour has purposely lowered his leverage in negotiations by making it clear that he only wants to coach Carolina. So instead of rewarding him for that, and like, this isn't the salary cap. I get penny pinching on the salary cap because competitive advantage, you're trying to build the best team. You can spend as much money as you want on coaches. That's literally just cash. There is no limit to how much you can spend on a coach. And if you want to say to Brind'Amour, you know, you are one of the three best coaches in hockey and you have been the good soldier. You've done everything right. You bleed red. I know that's the color of blood, but like legitimately, like you bleed Carolina red.
I didn't even think that. It's blood.
It is blood. Yeah. We're not going to overpay you because why would we? But we're going to give you a market level contract. We're going to take care of you. Whereas Dundon looks at the situation and is like, this is a way for me to save $2 million a year. And I just think it's a shitty way to do business. And as much as I want to see Carolina do well, because I have a vested interest on multiple levels in seeing them do well, I also want to see Dundon at some point get burned for all of his shitty penny pinching. So this would have been cool if Brind'Amour would have just been like, you know what, dude, I don't want to be paid like one of the bottom 20% coaches just because you think you can save some money off of my back because I'm such a good guy. I'm going to go and take $8 million to coach the Leafs. I would have found that very funny.
Do you know what the Leafs would pay him? Like,
yeah,
he might make more than their stars because they can just do it.
Because they can do it. They have all the money.
They're their own corporation.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, like they, here's 12.
If it was truly an open market for Brind'Amour's services, like he's probably underpaid by about $5 million a year. And the thing is that Dundon isn't even willing to give him like an extra two because he thinks this is a way for him to save some money. And I just think it's a shitty way to do business. It's a shitty way to treat your employees. And I think at some point, it's going to burn him. I don't know when, but at some point he's going to push a really good person or a really good player too far. And they're just going to say, you know what? Fuck you, dude. Even though now you're willing to cave, I don't care. You're an asshole. I don't want to play for you anymore. I don't want to work under you anymore. I was wondering if this was going to be that time. It doesn't look like it is, but I do think it's going to happen at some point. And as much as I like the Canes, I'm going to enjoy it when it does.
It's just insane. Like, this is a rich, rich man. And like, I realized like yesterday or the day before it got announced that they're reaffiliated with the Chicago Wolves now.
Right.
But in the year of our Lord 2024, an NHL team operated without an AHL affiliate.
It's wild.
Like, what? How do you? What?
Yeah.
And I think Chicago's too far away from Carolina for your, like, yeah, for what happens when someone gets hurt at morning skate, you know? But at least you have one. In case you need, what do you do? It blows my mind. I will say though, like, they did just reaffiliate with the Chicago Wolves. They broke one of their kind of like philosophies in going out and getting a rental in Jake Guentzel. Like, maybe they're starting to, you know what? We've been really good. We have these flop, but we need to operate a little bit more like a professional team that owned by a billionaire because we are, rather than, oh, you know, we don't really like to spend money on rentals. Well, so go win the goddamn cup. You know what that rental will cost you? That rental will make you money if you win the Stanley Cup.
I remember being really rubbed the wrong way by the way they handled the Aho offer sheet. And this is why, because the whole reason why Aho signed the offer sheet with Montreal in the first place is because Dundon and Carolina was lowballing the shit out of him. So he's like, you know what? If I'm going to get paid what I actually am worth, it wasn't even like that offer sheet was insane. It was just what he was worth.
Yeah.
He signs it. And the reason why Montreal signed him to that offer sheet was because their assumption was Dundon is so cheap, he might not actually match. Well, what happened was then Carolina matches, which like the right move. You don't want to lose Sebastian Aho. He's a real, real good player. But then their PR blitz was, ha, 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 you thought we weren't going to match. You think we're so cheap. Like, we'll match. You know, you think we're a small market team? No, we were always going to match. But the way it was presented was like, well, if you were always going to match, why the fuck didn't you just offer him a fair level contract in the first place?
No, they had to be backed into the corner to do.
Yeah, you were nickel and diming, like, probably your best player just to do it, just because you could. Like, I don't know. There's an element where it's like, yes, I get that you want to be a tough negotiator because every $1 million you save on the cap is another $1 million you can spend towards towards improving your team further. I get that. That is fair. But there's such a point of going too far. Like, I don't think Sebastian Aho wanted to have to sign an offer sheet to get paid a fair value contract. But if the Canes are offering him like $5 million a year, then what the fuck else is he going
to
do?
Players seem to really like playing in Carolina.
Yeah.
Like, playing in Montreal is really hard. Like, it's just harder. Like, yeah. In Carolina, you get to do whatever you want to do. Yeah. It's just people want to be there to get. Oh, yeah, let me go sign with Montreal because I have to. Like, that's shitty.
I really didn't like the PR blitz afterwards, yeah, where it was like, that's not a big contract at all. Of course we're going to match it. Well, if it wasn't that big of a contract at all, then why weren't you the guys that offered him that deal? Why did we have to go through all this? And the reason you had to go through all this is because you're run by a penny-pitching asshole.
But I would love the Canes to win it just so Brendan Moore can be like, good luck selling, not resigning me now. Like,
yeah,
it's like the Joe Flacco contract. Like, bet you wish you paid me before this little Super Bowl run, huh? Like, that's, yeah. I hope that's what happens. Before we get out west, though, hey, maybe you want to bet on the Canes to get this thing done. I bet you can find great odds over at Bet Parks Sportsbook because they have everything from futures, game lines, all the props, everything you're looking to bet for these Stanley Cup playoffs. You can get some action going with the Bet Parks Sportsbook app, and you can win big with all-day action. If you win your first $10 bet, you can earn $125 in sports bonus bets. You play for fun. You love to win. You bet. Make all your bets at Bet Parks Sportsbook. Download the app and play along with us. Must be 21 or older. Please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, let's get to the mailbag question. Oh, no, we didn't do the West yet. So the Avs have moved on. The Oilers have moved on. We still have Stars Vegas. We still have Preds Canucks.
This is going to be a really good night tonight.
How do you think these end?
I mean, I love both these series, yeah, and I am going to be glued to the television for 6 hours watching because they both play tonight. I'd love to see the Stars close it out, but also I'd kind of love to see a game 7.
I know, like, so I found myself rooting for the Stars, but also, all right, well, now you've taken the lead. I'm kind of back on Vegas. Like,
yeah.
I'm rooting for as many games as possible because this first round was like most of the series ended in 4 or 5. I don't want the playoffs to be over this fast.
Yeah, well, we're getting the 1 game 7, yeah, definitely. And then we have Preds Canucks. Back to Nashville, I'm very, because I said that I thought that if the Preds found a way to win game 5, they were going to win the series. Now the Canucks had to take that long flight back. The Preds are back home. I'm assuming Smashville is going to be rocking. I'm excited to see what the Preds can do. I mean, if they lose in 6, like, Canucks are a real good team, that's fine. But I think they could win the series.
Tonight is going to be a great night to watch some hockey. And when you're watching hockey, man, I suggest you just sit back and chill.
Sometimes
and enjoy the
chill
ride.
Just gotta chill.
Friday night, some really good playoff hockey on. Why don't you enjoy a nice cold Coors Light? Sometimes when you just have to chill, you gotta choose the Coors Light because there's no better way to chill than with the ice cold Coors Light. So whether you're freaking out about your team, the team you bet on falls behind early, whatever it is, maybe there's a goalie change coming up, a game 7 possible, whatever you're freaking out about, you need to find the Blue Mountains in your fridge and enjoy a beer as cold as the Rockies, because when everything surrounding your favorite hockey team is on fire, sometimes you just got to chill. When you choose to rise above it all, choose chill, choose Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/PHLYHockey. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Let's wrap up this Friday edition of the show with the mailbag question of the day. This is actually from yesterday. We didn't get to it, but I think it's kind of fun. Nice way to send us into the weekend from at Beans and Bikes. Basically, the only thing I want is Draisaitl on the Flyers. If Michkov is coming over and needs a 1C, could the Flyers pull off a trade? And he suggests Frost, Farabee, two first-round picks this year, et cetera, this summer to get Draisaitl with a predetermined contract extension.
I mean, the first thing I want to say is
it's
that...
It's not going to be Frost and Farabee.
No, it would be more.
It's going to be bonking.
It would be a lot more. But what I'll say about this is that the only way that Edmonton is trading Draisaitl is if Draisaitl communicates to them that he will is unlikely to resign or he is going to test the market. I cannot envision a scenario where they would, and you can, I guess, make the argument that, well, they'd be better off trading Draisaitl and then building a stronger team around McDavid with the cap space. I get that argument. I just don't agree with it. I think they are absolutely better served keeping Draisaitl and McDavid together and just keep throwing that at the wall because eventually it's going to stick. Like, that's my thought. Look, if Draisaitl tells them after the playoff run that, like, I want to go elsewhere, then yeah, sure. But the problem with that is that if he tells them that, then the only teams he's going to really... Like, when you're in a situation like this, where theoretically a guy is like, he has one more year left on his deal, because that's the whole concept, is that he's theoretically a free agent in 2025, correct?
Yeah.
That's his contract situation. If he tells Edmonton, I don't really want to re-sign in Edmonton. I want to be the alpha on a team. I want to run my team. I don't want to be the Robin to McDavid's Batman anymore. Whatever. I'm sick of living in Edmonton. I want to go somewhere else. Presumably in that situation, the only teams that are going to trade for him are teams that are confident that he will sign with them. Would he be willing to sign with the Flyers? I don't know, but that is something that would have to be confirmed before the Flyers give up the kind of package that it would require to get Draisaitl. Like, so is there a scenario where Draisaitl at the end of this playoff run says, I want to go somewhere else, and then through back channels, the Flyers find out that he's one of the five teams that he would consider signing an extension with? Then, yeah. I mean, sure. You have a chance to get Leon Draisaitl. Let's talk. Let's see what it'll cost. But there are a lot of things that would have to happen. Like, this is not a situation where, like, the Flyers can just call up Edmonton on June 16th and be like, hey, what's it going to cost to get Leon Draisaitl? Like, there are a lot of things that would have to play out for that to even be a possibility. Can't rule out the fact that those things could happen. Just, like, don't get your hopes up.
I would say for Edmonton to be at all interested in something like this, I can see, okay, Edmonton's in the second round right now. Let's say they beat winner of Vancouver, Nashville, and then it's...
They could win the cup this year.
Say it's Colorado, Edmonton in the Western Conference Final, and Colorado kind of treats them the way
just
they have the last few years.
Yeah,
they win 4-1.
Yeah.
Maybe one of these overreact teams. They're nowhere like Toronto. Maybe they start thinking we need a depth team more than we need these two guys. Because we have this one guy, and he's going to be awesome no matter what.
Right.
What if we can get three dudes and some other things for Draisaitl? Like, I can see, I'm not saying it's smart, but I can see that, like, that's the scenario that has to play out for it to be even on the table.
Yeah, but do the Flyers have those dudes? Like, if you're trading Draisaitl, in theory, it's like, well, we're trading Draisaitl to replace him with two guys who can provide more value than Draisaitl can provide. Like, is Travis Konechny and Joel Farabee enough? And then in that case, you'd have to get confirmation that Konechny would be interested in re-signing with the Oilers. So he's not just a one-year rental. I'm not saying it's not
possible.
They
don't have the assets to make it happen.
I am skeptical that the Flyers would be able to pull it off unless, and again, I don't quite know why he would say this, but unless Draisaitl is like, yeah, I want to leave and I only want to go to Philly. Like, hell, stranger things have happened, I guess, but
I don't know.
I'm just saying.
That would be fucking insane. Like, I'm sure something crazier has happened than that, but what? Yeah, this dude who has no connection.
Yeah.
I really look good in the orange.
Yeah, he just loves that orange color.
We've gone back to the primary blue and I miss having all that orange and I want it back. Like, would that... Who the fuck? I just, Edmonton's the kind of team that the Flyers don't have the assets to make a trade with. Because it's like, we need to be good right now. Like, if it was a bad team that's considering rebuilding, but they have a couple of high-end dudes, like, that I can see. Because we have the future assets.
Yeah, I mean, like, and there are ways you could figure it out. Like, if Travis Konecny said, yes, I would be willing to sign with Edmonton, and then you were willing to throw in Cam York, and then two firsts, like, yeah, maybe. Because they could be like, hey, we got a left-handed defenseman to pair with Evan Bouchard forever, who isn't Darnell Nurse. And then Konecny is a cheaper impact. He's an impact guy, but he's going to come $4 million a year cheaper than Draisaitl. And then you throw in some first round picks, like, then, and the Flyers might stink. So, hey, maybe they'll be high picks. Like, yeah, that could maybe turn their heads. But again, there's a lot of things that would have to happen for that to even be a possibility. Namely, Draisaitl would have to decide he doesn't want to re-sign at Edmonton. And usually these guys want to stay where they're at, especially if you're Leon Draisaitl and you're playing on a team that every year has the chance to win a cup and you're playing with the best player of your generation. I'm not quite sure why he would want to leave. I don't
know. If he was like, maybe if he was Russian instead of German. Like, actually, him and Michkov go way back. Like, he was the older guy on the team. Like, but no, they have no, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Like, I can't think of a scenario where it works.
You can't rule it out entirely, yeah, because it's hockey. And, like, you know what? Keep living the dream. Keep dreaming the dream. Keep
Michkov mania running wild.
Keep dreaming the dream. I'm just saying, don't expect, like, the game plan to be targeting Leon Draisaitl.
Every fan base in hockey is targeting Draisaitl. Like, well, they can't keep him together forever. Like,
they sure can.
Yeah, they can. Malkin and Crosby have been together for 20 years.
Yeah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Anyway, that is all the time we have for you on this Friday edition of PHLY Flyers. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for hanging out. If you haven't
already,
follow us around.
We got one more super chat.
I see we have
the
super chat here. What do we have?
Chance the DB smuggles Michkov back in luggage. He's small, but he's not that small, JH. It'd have to be some pretty big luggage.
How would Dan, like, that would be luggage bigger than Danny. All right, that is now all the time we have for you. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for hanging out. If you haven't already, follow us right here. Hit that subscribe button. Set your alerts. Never miss a live show. We'll be back Monday at 1 p.m. Also, follow us on Twitter at @PHLY_Flyers. Tweet us there if you want to be featured in the mailbag of the day. And follow the podcast, PHLY Flyers. All right, that's it. My name's Bill Matz. That's Charlie O'Connor. Have a great weekend, Philly.
Great weekend.
We all silly like the mayor.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, Come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.